Now, more Evelyn and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest. He is David K. Johnston, and he's been a reporter for the Detroit Free Press, done some award-winning work there, and now on the national scene, and has written a very, very interesting book called Free Lunch. Want to welcome him in. Hello, David. How are you?
Great. Glad to be with you.
Want to talk to you a little bit about tax cuts and the idea that there would be actual tax relief for those, the reinstatement or continuation of tax cuts for those making $250,000 a year or less, and the idea that there could be a lifting of that for those making more than $250,000, I guess on money that you earn more than $250,000. But so much has been said about small business, and everyone wants small business to be successful. I don't think there's any dispute there. How do we define small business in this country?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Jack, and a debate about, by the way, everybody would get the tax breaks on their first $250,000 of income. It's on above that.
Correct.
It turns out that the definition that the congressional Republican leadership has chosen includes companies such as Bechtel, which has revenues of $31 billion a year, Fidelity Investments, which is owned by the Johnson family in Boston and manages north of a trillion dollars, and other very, very large companies. And more than half of these tax benefits would go to large companies.
David, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you for a second. I don't quite understand how, when you're talking about a business is making into trillions, it's a small business.
Well, it's a little semantic game that's being played by the Republican leadership. They have been very accurate if you carefully listen to what they say.
Okay.
The benefits would go to the top 3% of what are called S corporations, limited liability companies, partnerships, and sole proprietorships, people who file a Schedule C tax return. These are where the entity, the business, pays no taxes. The taxes flow through directly to the owner of the business. The problem is that the top 2 or 3% represent half the income, but less than 1/4 of 1% of all the small businesses. We're talking about a small, small number of small businesses who are making revenues of north of $50 million a year who are included in this group.
Okay, did you say less than 1/4 of 1%
are in this group that get?
And they're making
the
50% of the...
Well, no, the whole 3%, I'm sorry, I misstated that. The whole top 3% are above $250,000. But most of that money is going to this tiny group at the very top. 15,000 companies, 18,000 partnerships, both of which have average revenues well north of $100 million a year. So it is really not reasonable to describe these as small businesses. And they already get an enormous tax break. If you're a regular company like Ford, you're what's called a C-Corp. You pay taxes twice. You pay at the corporate level, and then your investors are taxed on the income they get from the corporation, dividends and capital gains.
Right.
But if you're an S-Corp or any of these other entities I described, the business itself is not taxed. So they only have one level of taxation.
Well, if Bechtel and the Chicago Tribune can do this, what's to stop any business from claiming it's an S-Corp?
Well, you can only there are two fundamental limitations on you. You can only have 100 shareholders, and Chicago Tribune, which is the second biggest publisher, they also own, you know, the L.A. Times and the Baltimore Sun, a lot of other properties. Obviously can't they can do it because Sam Zell bought it. Instead of being a publicly traded company, one person owned it. You can't do it if you're Ford unless you go private again and just have members of the Ford family and a few executives own the company.
Okay.
So publicly traded companies cannot do this. And, of course, that's where your and my money and our retirement plans, our 401ks and our IRAs, is invested. So the companies we are required by law to put our money in are double taxed. These other companies, Where we can't put our money if we want to because they're privately held, they're one-time taxed.
All right. Is this going to be a campaign issue? Is this going to, I guess now the Democrats have decided not to press this issue about tax cuts until after the election. But is this something that really could have energized a segment of the American people had they known this?
Well, that's, you've hit upon a key issue here. Although it's in the public record, I for years wrote about this stuff. I still write about it in my column and elsewhere. The fact is most people have no idea about this.
And I mean, if a small businessman's making $260,000 and he's going to be hiring employees, I think that's a little bit different than what you're talking about with Bechtel.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no question that, you know, they're not saying we're going to stop this at some level of income that's, you know, in six figures or the low seven figures. The Republicans want this benefit to go to everybody. So you have people whose net worth is in the tens of billions of dollars and the multiple billions of dollars who they want to protect their tax cuts. And the fact is we are running enormous deficits. During the Clinton years, we raised taxes and created 22 million jobs. During the Bush years, we lowered taxes, and we only created 3.5 million jobs. And I will tell you that at 8 o'clock tonight Eastern Time, my new column will go up at tax.com. It's available free there.
And tax.com, T-A-X.com?
That's correct.
All right.
And my column will show from the official government data what the effects of the Bush tax cuts were on the American public, and I'll give you a description of it in one word. Even when I analyzed the data and stacked the deck in George Bush's favor just for the best years of his 8 years in the White House, awful, unmitigated awful. And if you go to tax.com, you will see numbers, tables, charts, all from the official data that show that this didn't work, as many of us said it wouldn't work at the time.
All right. You can make an argument that by not taxing revenue over $250,000, you are going to be fueling the economy. You can get a lot of different opinions on that. But in terms of, I guess, the rich getting richer is the way that you would look at it in terms of someone who is making more than $1 million a year. What would it do to the federal deficit if, let's say, that money was taxed? Everything that someone earned over $250,000 a year was taxed at the 39% rate instead of
35. Right. Well, that's part of the solution. What would happen is we wouldn't have to borrow $700 million. And let me tell you a way to think about this, Jack. The money we borrowed to finance the Bush tax cuts, because remember, he promised cut taxes, it'll increase revenues, it'll all pay for itself. Well, in fact, we borrowed every single dollar that was used to finance the tax cuts. Every single dollar. That is, the government took in less money, so it borrowed the money because spending continued.
Largely from China?
Well, we borrowed from all over, actually.
All
but
right.
Yes, in good part from China. But even in discretionary spending, it turns out the growth of what's called discretionary spending under George W. Bush was faster than under Lyndon Johnson, of all people, okay? And here's how to think about that. All of the income taxes withheld from your and my and every listener and everyone else in America's paycheck in January and February of this year just went to pay interest on the George W. Bush tax cuts. Let me say that again. January and February, all the income taxes you paid only went to cover the interest on the George W. Bush tax cuts.
We've heard about tax day. We know how long you have to work in a year before you start making money for yourself. But,
and, Jack, that's a terrible lie. Can I tell you why?
Tell me why.
Half of all Americans pay all of their tax burdens, income, federal, everything else, in January. What they do, the people who promote tax day, is they take high-income taxpayers, people who, in some cases, literally make several billion dollars a year, and they mix them in with average Americans. And the average American is a much lower number than a lot of people realize. The median wage, that is half of all Americans' jobs paid more than this, half paid less, is $26,400, or in round numbers, $500 a week.
All right. I want to be very clear about one thing. When we talk about what it would do to the deficit if All revenue, all income over $250,000 a year were taxed at the higher rate. Would we be back in Clinton-esque figures where we were had a surplus, or would
no.
we be? We wouldn't be to that point, but
absolutely
we certainly wouldn't
not.
Be where we are today.
No, this is not going to solve the problem. The problem is that when we were following the policies in the Clinton era, which reduced the deficit and created lots of jobs, we were on the right path. The path that we've been on since 2001 has been one in which the government has been borrowing money. We haven't had jobs created. The incomes of Americans overall, and that's what my column that goes up at 8 o'clock tonight will tell about, have gone down by a horrendous number. I mean, I think people who go to my column at tax.com will be shocked at the number they're going to see from the official government data. And even if we just keep the Bush tax cuts on the first $250,000 for married couples, $200,000 for single payers, mm-hmm. we will still run big budget deficits at current spending.
Okay.
Now, what we're not talking about is where to reduce that spending.
Right.
We are spending, if you measure all of the costs of the military, for example, not just the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but the ongoing costs for soldiers, disabled veterans, and my dad was 100% disabled veteran of World War II, so I have a particular interest in that subject, on the Energy Department's bomb-making division and on Veterans Affairs. It's about $1.5 trillion a year. It is 48% of all the worldwide military spending,
mm-hmm.
and we and our close allies are about 70%
right.
of that spending.
Well, we could certainly get into a long discussion about national security, but I want to refer people to your website and to the book. The website, again, is?
Freelaunchthebook.com, or my name, David K, spelled C-A-Y, Johnston with a T, davidkjohnston.com. And the column goes up tonight at tax.com at about 8 p.m. Eastern.
Tax.com. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack.
All right. David spent some time at Michigan State University campus, believe it or not, as a student here, and worked for Detroit Free Press for several years. We'll be right back with more. Susan J. Demas, Capital Chronicles, up next.